This is CBS Eye on the World. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. Dragonfly, always a cool name. What is it, Bob? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Well, in 2019, NASA proposed this mission to the moon of Saturn, Titan. Titan is really interesting because it is the only, only other moon in the solar system that has a real atmosphere, and it's got a very strange alien environment that is, in many ways, mimics the Earth with methane lakes and a rain of methane and other hydrocarbons. It's a very strange place, and it's definitely worth visiting. And so they proposed this Dragonfly mission, and what made Dragonfly even more intriguing was it was not going to be a lander or a rover. It was going to be a helicopter that would hop, fly about on Titan, going from place to place. Very ambitious. And we're talking about a very alien environment. When this was first proposed, it was supposed to cost $850 million, and it was expected to be ready to launch in 25. It is now not going to launch until 28. The budget now looks like it's going to be $3 billion or above. And there was an inspector general report that said this project has now gone vastly over budget and behind schedule and has serious problems, and it's questionable it can meet its launch date. Now, I had predicted this when they first announced it, as much as it's a wonderful idea, and I really think they should do something like this. In 19, I immediately said NASA's history with these big projects for the last decade has been terrible. And I expect this one to go over budget and behind schedule. And lo and behold, now, 6 years later, that's where we are. Whether this is going to get launched on time, I don't know. But I will tell you, NASA doesn't seem to really want to face the problem. The IG report that pointed this out didn't really have any good suggestions on fixing the problem. And NASA doesn't seem to want to even recognize the problem. It had a press release the same day saying how wonderful everything is in Dragonfly and how it's going to do wonderful things as if there are no problems. And so I'm concerned this is going to be a failure. Again, this is going to turn into another web, John, 20 times over budget and a decade behind schedule and destroying the planetary program at NASA. That's one of the things. They can't fund anything else because this is here.
What about the cutbacks? Are they still in place? We haven't updated that.
The cutbacks have been proposed by Trump. They're going through Congress right now. Congress appears to not want to let them happen, but there's interesting stuff. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
If the cutbacks come, does Dragonfly survive?
That's a very good question. I can't answer it at the moment, but it's definitely a fact, yes.
That would be one way to do it. All right.
I will also point out that even if the cutbacks don't survive, Dragonfly is in very weak ground right now because it looks like it's not going to be able to meet its launch date. That's the big thing. It's only a few years away, and they're far from ready.
Perseverance is one of the rovers on the surface of Mars. It's taken an unusual picture and immediately jumped to Percy didn't jump to conclusions. The analysts on Earth jumped to. What's the conclusion they jumped to, Bob?
Well, this relates directly to those budget cuts, John. You know, the Mars Sample Return mission is in very serious financial trouble, and NASA doesn't know how to do it, and it's probably going to get canceled, or can they replace it with anything? Well, so NASA, of course, whenever it's in budget cuts, it immediately has a press release where they announce they've discovered life. This is a routine they do and have been doing now for a decade. And so they announced in a Kabuki theater stunt that Perseverance's science team has found rocks that have a signal that might possibly, potentially, if we do some more analysis, maybe be a biosignature, possibly, but we're not sure. And they made a big deal about this, and of course a lot of the press has picked it up as we've discovered life on Mars. And of course it's not true. It's a very intriguing discovery. These are minerals that are found within the rock that are related on Earth to possibly life, but they could be formed from non-life. But they are interesting, and it's worth knowing more about it. But is this discovery of life on Mars? No, it's press release. It's a game. It's trying to gin up support for funding, and that disturbs me. I can't help saying that.
The way I read it, Bob, is that we went through this with methane picked up in the atmosphere by one of the orbiters. There is a organic explanation, and there's a non-organic explanation of methane. There's an organic explanation for these leopard spots, they call them, but there's also a non-organic, and so you can't choose until we get somebody on the surface with a lab.
Yes, and I would also point out, though, that they push the biosignature, the biology explanation, hard when there's absolutely no evidence for that. It could easily be non-biological. It's, once again, worth studying, but they overplay it, and they're doing it for lobbying purposes, John.
Curiosity. Curiosity has found a slope streak. I looked at it, Bob. What is that? It looks like somebody was sliding down on a snowfield.
Yeah. Well, there is a unique geological feature on Mars that is not explained yet. They call them slope streaks. They look like a staining avalanche down a slope. They don't change the topography. They're not like an avalanche because they have no debris at the base. And sometimes the flow will actually go uphill slightly and then come back down again as they go. It's a stain that flows down the thing, and they're not sure what causes it. Some theories that say it's related to dust. Others say it's related to maybe a brine. They don't really know what causes them. They have never been able to get close to one. Well, there was a picture on a Curiosity took by one of its navigation cameras on the box work that the rover is presently traveling through on Mount Gale. And one of the ridges of that box work has what looks to me like a slope streak. Now, I'm not sure it is a slope streak. I'm no expert. I'm not a geologist. But to my mind, if this is a slope streak, this is a fantastic opportunity to get a close look at this thing to try to understand what caused them. And though they haven't said anything yet, I would not be at all surprised if sometime down the road they might. Of course, it might not be a slope streak. I could be wrong. But if it is, this could be a real opportunity to learn something.
Does that look like a path they can make easily to the slope streak?
Oh, it's only about 10, 15 feet away, and, you know, they can easily go to that. There's not a problem with that. That's not the issue. The question is, one, is it what I think it is? And two, will they make it a priority? I think they would if it is, but maybe it isn't. So
what is Mauke Mauke, and what is a methane significance?
All right, so Mauke Mauke is one of the larger dwarf asteroids, dwarf planets in the Kuiper Belt beyond Neptune. And they discovered it had a moon a few years ago. Scientists have now detected methane gas in its near its surface, which means it has kind of an atmosphere, very thin atmosphere. But like Pluto, even in these nether regions of the solar system where there's not a lot of energy from the sun, you can still have activity and an atmosphere.
And China wants to go to Apophis. Good for them. Can they make it?
Well, they haven't even gotten the proposal approved yet, but there is a bunch of scientists that have been pushing for a mission to Apophis. They have a mission there. They've also proposed that would visit a whole bunch of near-Earth asteroids, and they've decided to tack on two CubeSats to that mission to go to Apophis. Apophis is going to fly by the Earth on April 13th of 2029. We already have a Sirius Apex heading towards it. Europe's building its Ramsey mission to go to it. Now, these scientists proposed this. Whether the Chinese government will approve it or not, we still do not know. But they are proposing getting something to Apophis, and I think that's a good idea because it is a potentially dangerous asteroid. It's not a threat for the foreseeable future, but the more we can learn about it, the better for future threats.
Bob, are the probes big enough to change its direction?
No, not any of these probes. However, I will tell you almost all the scientists have all agreed that any probe that goes there really should go after the flyby of Earth so that it doesn't change the flyby prematurely in any way, shape, or form. But it's not likely any of these are going to change its path very significantly.
I remember one of the early understandings of how to redirect an asteroid was to put something flying next to it.
That's one of the things, you know, bring a massive object next to the asteroid and have it change its orbit. That is a plan. And one of the things they can do with this is see how much a probe affects the asteroid as it's flying by. That is definitely something you can do. There are a lot of proposals. The more we learn about the asteroids, though, the better off we're going to be to solve this problem, John.
Is this the one that comes inside of the geosynchronous orbit, Apophis?
I don't remember how close it's going to get in 29. I just don't. Yes, it's going to come in. Well, it's going to come inside the moon's orbit significantly. It'll be, I think, something like 32,000 miles away. So that's from memory. I could be wrong, but I think that's the distance. That puts it a little outside geosynchronous orbit. The question isn't this 29 rendezvous. It's future flybys.
Right.
And we don't know. The present calculation says it's not going to hit us for at least 200 years, but that could change.
Bob Zimmerman. I'm John Bass.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.